Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Oh my God, dude, we got a voicemail. There was a guy who called in who was like, at some point we did a discussion about capital cities that were also someone's name. And all of us just agreed that Eugene was one of them, which is not the capital of Oregon. And someone was like, I can't believe you guys didn't know the capital of Oregon. And I realized, like,
I like don't even remember that conversation.
Neither did I. But I remembered now just like being like, oh yeah, Eugene, because like we all went to school there.
I thought we were just talking about cities. I don't even remember.
I think it was supposed to be capitals that have the same name. Yeah. But like, it's like obviously we know Salem is the capital of Oregon, but Eugene, it was just like, oh, Eugene's cat, we all went to school there. That's a name, first name city.
There have been so many times when people just point out how dumb we are. That's just like, like that's like the biggest recurring bit on the show of just how stupid we are collectively. You know,
they need help and they're idiots.
Yeah. When our powers combined. Yeah. It's just a comedy of errors. Yeah.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I am your host and Vance refrigeration worker, Edwin Janes. And with me, as always, our producer in the Vance refrigeration warehouse, Alex Ward.
I am going to have to do this soprano style. Just whack them. Guys, could you take the freight elevator, please?
Hey, you want to see a really messed up show?
You know what?
Follow us.
That's
around.
My foot.
Come to our office.
One
This week, our dear friend and co-host Sean Roney is a traveling salesman and is not with us for today's episode. So Alex and I thought it would be very fun to do a couple of minor characters, just the two of us, doing the two Vance refrigeration guys that we see every now and then throughout the show. Their names are Gino and Leo, and they will be the main topic of today's show. Something very quick, very fun, kind of random, and this is the kind of stuff that our show was made for.
We're going to pair this with a bunch of listener voicemails, too, because we have a lot of good ones that have been sitting there. So we did this last time with Billy Merchant and listener voicemails, and so I like pairing there's minor characters in The Office, and then there's minor characters, and that's where we're going today with these guys. But we will get
to, and Charles Minor and characters.
Charles Minor characters, and we will get to a bunch of questions later on from different listeners. But again, if you like that part of the show where we're just answering questions from our listeners, you should join our Patreon. $5 a month, you support the show. It lets us continue to do the show, and we also do a monthly exclusive mailbag episode where we answer all of our questions we get from our Patreons. Nothing too small, nothing too big. That's what she said. Everything in between. We also now have ad-free episodes. You can subscribe to your own private podcast feed, and you will get these episodes you're hearing now without any ads in them, and our live reads or the ones that are inserted. You just get the pure episode, nothing else. Join Patreon for those wonderful benefits. And we also donate a portion of everything we get through Patreon to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So all good reasons to do it. But Edwin, let's get back to our episode. Where do you want to start with Gino and Leo?
Gino and Leo.
Lino, okay, and Gio. So,
Gino and Leo are the two Vance refrigeration warehouse workers played by Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky, two writers and producers.
I recognize those names from the credits.
Yes, from The Office and from a number of other comedy shows and movies throughout the years. I mean, there's just, we can list their credits, but like if you ever watched Hello Ladies on HBO or the Bad Teacher series, or I mean, obviously they've got other stuff in the works. But
by the way, if you haven't seen Hello Ladies out there, and you, if you like the BBC Office, Stephen Merchant, one of the co-creators of this whole thing, is the lead on that show. And if you like cringe comedy and you haven't seen Hello Ladies, you got to fix that ASAP.
It might be too cringe for some people, yeah. but the big laughs are really, really good in that show.
It's hardcore cringy, like really hardcore.
Yeah. But anyway, two writers and producers of The Office who have some small recurring roles in a couple of seasons, in season two and season five. I guess as well in their credit, they have an IMDb credit for Threat Level Midnight as well. So they're... they're just like a very funny minor part of the show. We thought with just the two of us, it would be a fun thing to dive into. So Lee Eisenberg plays Gino.
Yes.
And Gene Stupnitsky plays Leo. So a little flip
to differentiate on each of their names. Leo and Gino. Gino is the one who actually sells Michael the Caprese salad for $500. Leo is the one who's like, oh, there's girls in there, and he hits on Pam Valentine's Day. If you want to picture who we're talking about.
They flip the names in just a way that would be funny in the writer's room and would trip up potential podcast hosts years and years later.
It's true.
So, but yeah, I think we first see them. Well, they appear in the main episodes, but they also appear in deleted scenes. I believe that their first appearance comes in Valentine's Day when they are delivering the giant teddy bear.
Yes.
And Kevin says, that thing's bigger than I am. And he says, no, it's not. Oh, zip it. So they just have like little moments, little interactions. The first deleted scene where they would be was from the drop that Alex played at the top of the show, which is when Michael is walking around in the Halloween episode trying to figure out who to fire. And they just kind of crash his elevator ride.
He's on his way down to pitch to Hank in that scene, too. And we find out it through the course of his conversation with Hank. He's trying to find out if Hank works for the building or for Dunder Mifflin. And when he finds out it's the building, he's just like, ah, oh, darn.
He says, well, get your pepper spray ready because he's got to fire someone. And Hank says, you're on your own.
Yeah.
that's in the Superfan episode.
And later, Hank is the only one who's actually called to bring, to escort an employee off the premises, which is Michael later when Charles has Hank come take him away.
But we see them again in Frame Toby I'm jumping ahead. There's a deleted scene at the end of Drug Testing, which, again, you can see in the Superfan episode, where it turns out that they're the ones who are smoking the joint in the parking lot. We see them throw the joint in the parking lot, and they say, we should get a pizza. And the other one says, I hate pizza.
It's weird. Yeah. Who hates pizza? But this
is one of the most suspect lines of the whole show.
I know. And they didn't include this in Drug Testing. And it actually, when you don't put it in there, Drug Testing is left with a mystery of like where did it actually come from? Mm-hmm. This solves that. But I get why they didn't, because you could also be like, wait, who were those guys? Like, we don't really see them during Drug Testing at all. Earlier, if we saw them earlier in the episode, eating Caprese salad, we'll say, that, and then it would have worked, or just to have like had a reference, but no dice. But yes, they do. We see them throw that joint right exactly where Dwight finds it later.
It makes sense that they appear in a lot of deleted scenes that we can later view in the Superfan episodes, because they are such minor characters, and I don't think they're ever named in the show.
No.
And like, they would, if you really have to edit down for time, it would be an easy place to cut, is these characters who maybe they have funny lines, but they don't really contribute that much to the larger overall plot outside of being in certain scenes, like when they're delivering the teddy bear.
It feels like something that Greg Daniels, Mike O'Shore do like to allow in their show, because I'm thinking about like, you know, Harris Whittles or something in Parks and Rec, where they play these roles who are like, they just pop in very rarely, and they're really funny, and they generally just have one or two lines that are good, and they're out, and then you don't see them forever. Harold Swiddles does a little more in Parks and Rec,
R.I.P.
as the animal catchers or something. They
They're animal control.
Yeah, animal control.
Harrison Brett.
That's right. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite lines is when the other guy just says, "Hey, how you know my name?" And he's wearing a name tag, like at the end of their long conversation.
And it's funny because they're also with Leo and Gino in this as the Vance refrigeration guys. They're also just in these kind of onesie outfits, blue collar workers. But they just had, like, you know, we brought this up before, but they're one of the one of I believe two, maybe the only scene in the entire 9 seasons that has a scene without any office employees in it at all. When we see the two of them see Cafe Disco and say, "Hey, you know, there's girls in there," and they talk to each other, so they actually get a scene together, despite not having anything to do with Dunder Mifflin, which is notable over 9 seasons. But they don't do a ton.
That's the thing where Kelly and Aaron start dancing, and then immediately as they start dancing, Leo is just standing in the hallway eating a sandwich. In a previous episode, I said it was an apple, but it is a sandwich.
Yeah.
And he goes out and says, "There's girls in there." What'd I just say? "Do you have another sandwich? Forget the sandwich. Girls.
I think their most, I think the best scene they get by far is going over to season 5 when in frame Toby, of course, when they do sell him the weed, which is actually Caprese salad. That whole scene is done so well. They're obviously having a lot of fun with it. And Michael buying weed from a stranger is the most, like, fish out of water scene. He just, everything he knows about this is from movies, starting with the fact that he tries to buy it in pounds. And that he has zero idea what the price is. He assumes it'll be expensive, but the price Gino gives him at $500 for 2 pounds, I'm losing money on this. That's way cheap to actually sell him 2 pounds, but way more than he would get in the little baggie that he gives him. So every part of this, the red flags are everywhere for Michael. Of course, he doesn't see any of them because he's terrified.
He walks up and they're throwing the little, I always assume they were little, like the little popper things on the ground.
Yeah.
And also
eating. They're always eating, these guys.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they've never had any sort of reason to interact before. No. Like they're just surprised when Michael comes up.
What makes you think we'd have weed?
It's just a great.
Well, at first he says, "I need to purchase something." And he says, "A fridge?"
Like a fridge?
How many pounds is that? It's 2 pounds.
It's a good deal. I'm losing money on this. Walk away. 2 pounds. Like, Michael knows what 2 pounds.
He doesn't even look in the back. Look, there's mozzarella.
They just slip it into his pocket. They're just like, "Take it, walk away. Yeah. And 2 pounds. Yeah, okay.
They know a mark when they see one, and it just approached them.
It's the biggest bark of all time. It's Michael in that jacket. But Michael carries $500 on him?
I guess so. With Michael and money, you never know. This scary black bar is things that no one ever needs.
That would be Michael's reasoning, too, is you never know.
Yeah.
And a Burlington coat might present itself. Yeah.
Put the money in my shoe, and I forgot about it until now. But, you know, that was a very quick recap of basically all of their scenes.
That's it.
I believe they're credited for Threat Level Midnight. I didn't see them when I think, or maybe that's a writing credit when and not an acting credit, excuse me. Never mind. Lee Eisenberg is credited as a bar patron. I tried to find him, but I didn't find him. In Goodbye Toby, Mrs. Vance, "We're out of barbecue sauce," or something like that. They have like that quick little throwaway line because they're cooking. Like, I love that they're so minor that they're just idiots, and that they continue that little tradition of having writers appear in the show. They really just kind of expand the comedic universe of the show, which is really nice. Something that gets doubled down on quite a bit in Parks and Rec. Like, they have exponentially more characters from the town that they bring in. But in The Office, it's a little more contained. Mm-hmm. But it is nice to have characters like that to kind of give you more comedic possibilities. It's kind of like in The Simpsons or something like that, when you have these little side characters that can just inflect a little joke or just kind of be a very, very random part of the scene or the moment or the episode.
It's all their characters. Like, as soon as you even see them, you're like, "Oh, what? We're going to get a little something." And it's just a fun little turn for them. And they have some really funny scenes in the bloopers when they're hitting on Pam that I really enjoy.
That's in the Superfan episode as well for Valentine's Day, yes. A deleted scene where they're like, so what are you doing for Valentine's Day? When they're talking to Pam.
And he's like, she's like, I'm going to dinner with my fiance. What are you guys doing? And we find out that Gino has a girlfriend. Leo does not. And they proceed to have a fight.
They start fighting in the office.
White's like, break this up! Yeah. Gotta let that play out a bit.
Yeah, just, I don't know. We were trying to come up with somebody who's so minor that we would like never ever think to talk about
who's
them. The answer
so
is the
minor
refrigeration guy.
That even our listeners would be like, I'm going to skip this episode.
I don't know about this one.
Who's so minor that Sean won't care. And it was actually hard because we were with Sean last weekend running names by him. And he's like,
that's
I got to be there for
like,
that one.
I don't do that one. Yeah. Like,
we even thought about doing Bob Vance, and we will do, you know, Vance refrigeration. At some point, but no, we had to go even smaller with these two dopes.
But yeah, I guess that covers
that's
the majority of Gino and
really
Leo.
Say about
did
them.
We, you know, it's just funny that you would, that we would kind of apply this sort of try to analyze their role in the show at all. I guess, like, do you have any, like, where do they stand on your in terms of other minor characters?
Like minor league rankings.
I don't know.
They're almost not even in it enough to be. They're like fringe.
They're
characters. Like we see them or hear from them once. Like a minor character would at least have. I don't know. Like who's a minor? Like maybe Christian is a minor character who he meets in the client. You at least get a few scenes of dialogue, and you establish who they are.
Let's put it this way instead. Yeah. Do you wish you saw more of them, less of them, or we saw the perfect amount?
A little bit more. I think even 4 or 5 more scenes might be a little much. But I'd like to hear from them maybe once a season. That's it. Like you just get a tiny thing because they get like 3 times they show up in season 2, and then twice in season 5. And it's like I wish I would have just you get one time throughout the season where we see them. Or hear from them.
They could have played a role kind of similar to the warehouse guys in the early seasons, when especially when you have Patrice O'Neill as Lonnie, where Michael is kind of intimidated.
Yes.
Or Michael is trying to find out what's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could see that kind of playing out with them.
That he sort of treats them like an oracle he can go talk to a little bit on the street. Like they could always be hanging around the building or near their truck, and like Michael will go talk to them or ask them about anything that has to do with like the underworld or drugs or crime or like anything he thinks is over the other side of the law. He always talks to them and they just take the role.
They're also like portrayed as such idiots that there's no reason why you would take any stock in anything they have to say. Like when they start fighting, Pam turns and is just like, look what they're doing. She puts her hand up to display. They just start fighting in the middle of the office. Like you wonder if there weren't more moments that they could have had.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
in the Fun Run episode, for example, maybe they could have been a part of that. Something along those lines where they just could have had more parking lot moments.
Or when Andy and Kevin are fighting for their parking spaces, there could have been something there. When Bob Vance buys out the warehouse before the merger, could have been something there where like they're now on the same team and they have to meet the other warehouse guys. I don't know.
You know what would have been great? Webisodes about Gino and Leo.
Oh yeah, perfect.
Where they have to do something. Well, I mean, again, just to kind of honor the drop from the beginning. You know, you really want to see a messy show, you should follow us around. Yeah.
Maybe they deliver a fridge to like a Dunder Mifflin client, or like someone I don't know, Robert California orders a fridge for his new house or something from them. gentlemen,
or I think like maybe it was somebody else's webisode where they have to go to Vance Refrigeration and talk to those guys to try to get to the bottom of something. I would have liked to see a little more of that. Like I think they could have inflected a little more randomness, just a different note into the larger sort of thing of the office, which would have been nice. But
or take the
always fun. Oh,
I was gonna say take the idea of drug testing or something, like a mystery within the building, and then they become involved in like trying to solve that mystery, whatever it is. That could have been a lot of fun.
They could have asked them about who drew the butts on Pam's mural in season 9. Perfect. That would have been a fun instance. But
ass, yeah, ass, just, ass, 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 ass.
perfect, right? The clues point in their direction already. Yeah. But always fun to go down these weird little rabbit holes within the show and try to focus on something small like this.
That's what she said.
It's just a fun way to think about The Office.
I agree. And what are we if not looking for ways, fun ways to talk about The Office?
Sean is the Bob Vance, and you and I are Gino and Leo.
Oh, man. Okay. The winner.
The winner.
Scott.
Where's Scott? I don't know. You work with that jackass and that other jackass and that new jackass.
What a pair of Marys.
What a pair of Marys. Such a great line. What a pair of Marys.
That's going to be a hot drop board for the Bob Vance episode.
We need to do that one sooner rather than later.
I agree.
Because it would make a lot more sense logically to have done that one before this one.
Oh, yeah. We're working backwards. We did Billy Merchant, like the building owner, and now these guys eventually will get to Bob Vance.
Mm-hmm. But anyway. Yeah. Sean Vance. Vance. What line of work you in, Sean?
Okay. Making the groanies.
Let's jump into our voicemails. But before we do, let's take a quick break. Taking a break from our conversation to share a quick message from DoorDash. Do you find yourself ordering with DoorDash more than twice per month?
I do.
In that case,
I do, Edwin.
You do? Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Well, then you're going to love the rest of this ad. In that case, let's talk about getting you signed up for Dash Pass. Easiest way to save money on what you're already eating. Dash Pass is a membership that offers unlimited $0 delivery fees from thousands of restaurants, grocery stores, and convenience stores. With your membership, you can save an average of $4 to $5 on each order that you place for delivery or pickup. That means on average, Dash Pass pays for itself when you order twice a month. With over 18,000 restaurants eligible for Dash Pass, you may even find a new favorite restaurant. Flowers, pet supplies, groceries, sandwiches with a lead pipe in the middle. DoorDash has so much more than just restaurants. Whatever you're using DoorDash for, additional savings await with your unlimited $0 delivery fees with Dash Pass. Try a free month of Dash Pass now and watch your savings add up. Start or stop your membership anytime after your free trial ends. If you're ready to save money on your DoorDash orders, DoorDash is offering a free month of Dash Pass right now. Stop spending money on delivery fees. Try Dash Pass from DoorDash today for free. When you've got zero delivery fees, you're free to get more because you can. Start your free month today. DoorDash, Dash Pass, Dash Pass, Dash Pass, DoorDash.
Sandwich delivery for Oscar Martinez.
I'm Oscar Martinez. And we're back with the main event for this episode, voicemail sent in by our fantastic listeners.
Please leave a message for Andy Bernard.
Been a while since we did that drop.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, that'll be a segment. We'll do one voicemail, but things change on the show. Let's get right to the voicemails. Let's start here with Zach out in Indianapolis.
Michael Scott Podcast Company, may I have your attention?
You got it.
Fellas, this is Zach from Indianapolis. Binged a lot of your show the last couple of weeks, most notably on a cross-country trip to Denver and back. I was listening with my dad, and we both agreed that it made that trip much smoother and more enjoyable. And one of those episodes I was listening to, a few teachers wrote in about teaching former child actors in The Office, and distinctly remember Edwin saying, crazy world, a lot of teachers. Well, I am one of those teachers. I teach middle school, and the theme for my classroom this year is The Office. So I wanted to see if you folks had any suggestions for, like, decor and signage. My front entry bulletin board already has a picture of Pam at her desk with lettering, Dunder Mifflin, this is Pam. So things like that. Love the show. Appreciate what you guys do. And looking forward to hearing what you think. Take care. Stay safe.
Thank you. That's a great question. Zach. I'm glad that stood out. Crazy world, a lot of teachers.
Yeah, dude,
thankful yes. for the teachers.
Yep. Yeah, I grew up, my dad was a teacher, a lot of teachers in my life. Appreciate you.
Yeah. I think as far as decor goes, office supplies and school supplies aren't that far apart.
It's true.
So I think there's a lot of opportunities for crossover there, especially with reception. I feel like that's where my mind goes to first. Candy dish, paper clips, different colored paper for different colored things.
But those would just be normal things in a school classroom. It's like, how are they office centric?
Okay, well, I'm coming up with solutions, not problems, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, we're at paperclips. Good one.
The other place that my mind went was the party that Jim and Dwight throw together. Mm. You know, it is your birthday. It is your classroom.
Oh, yeah, that's period. Good. Gray and brown balloons.
Yeah, or whatever fits the theme.
Yes.
Of the classroom, yeah.
Are you... So, I have a lot of questions here. I mean... I don't know how much budget you have for this, how much you want to go into this. You said it's middle school, which is great because you got like, it would depend on the sort of jokes you could do if they were high school or just as elementary, but you're right in the middle here. You're going to have a school year lasts, what, about 9 months? You could do every month is a new season themed, or you're going to just keep things in there. I did a little look online. It's very easy to get a Froggy 101 sticker. I would put that up somewhere in your room. Ooh. Just little subtle things like that. You could also buy the poster of like the artwork that's hanging in the break room. Very subtle. That kind of weird 90s graphic thing. Put that in your classroom somewhere. You could put the Wayne Gretzky quote on the chalkboard, like a Michael Scott Wayne Gretzky one, or even just have a taped off part of your whiteboard or chalkboard that is just a different office quote every day or every week or whatever, and just kind of keep office quotes cycling through that.
You could easily get maybe that little Homer Simpson doll that they have sitting up there.
Very simple. Simpsons
world's
themed.
Best boss mug. Something for maybe behind your desk as the teacher that says Zach is the proud owner of a Quality Seiko timepiece.
Oh, that's
might be
great.
Might be kind of a deep cut, but...
No, but that's the beauty is you could have all these deep cut jokes that are just like would look totally normal in a classroom. So I totally agree
you
with that.
You could make,
one.
Assuming you have a desk, you could make your desk like a replica of Michael's desk with the little truck and the train whistle, next stop, Cucamonga. There are all sorts of things you can do with that. I also
put your stapler in Jello one day. Go, you know,
there you,
the
yes,
old school
yeah.
joke, the joke. Like, be like, oh, we're gonna have Jello, and then you take off the cover, and there's a stapler in there.
This is what I was gonna say. Where it says Dunder Mifflin, this is Pam. You could change it throughout the year to say Dunder Mifflin, this is Ryan. Dunder Mifflin, this is Ronnie.
Or just Dunder Mifflin, this is Andy. Is. I like that.
yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff. You said middle school. I don't know if they're still doing art class, but you could get some of the warehouse shirts for smocks. I don't know. Remember smocks? You could have Movie Mondays. You could sprout mung beans in your desk. You could tape weapons under all the desks. Put a Beaumont Adams right on top of your desk.
You could wear a holster. School. You could wear a holster and keep a banana in it in case you weren't hungry now, but you got hungry later.
There you go. Maybe a Cornell pennant, something like that hung up. There's no end to that. Like you could just start Googling things to put on the wall.
You know, what might be really fun is to do an office Olympics, classroom
oh,
Olympics.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Kind of go off of that. But yeah, my number one overall pick is still the banner with the balloons on the theme and then maybe a cake with a chiclet on it to symbolize a pillow or a TV.
Yep. My takeaway pick is going to be have a rotating quote on a corner of the board. And maybe a student gets to choose the quote each week, make it interactive somehow. Could be fun.
That's awesome. But that's a really, really great and fun idea for your classroom. And thank you for letting us brainstorm about that. That's really fun.
Fun.
Love it, man.
Well, we'll give Sean a chance on our next episode. We'll give him a few minutes to respond to any of these if he wants to, but he probably won't. All right.
Sean will come in and say, I have a few thoughts prepared about you people, and then he'll roast us. Yeah.
He's missed the most episodes, so he does get a segment to kick back at us. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our next voicemail from Lauren in Pennsylvania.
Hi, guys. My name is Lauren, and I'm calling from Schwenksville, Pennsylvania. It's
Hello.
About an hour and a half outside of Scranton in the Philadelphia metropolitan area. I was just listening to episode 90, The Break Room. I just wanted to comment on Kevin and how supportive he is of Pam and labor. I love that he just puts his hand on her shoulder and how supportive he is of Pam and just kept asking her, are you okay during all your feasts? He is generally concerned for his friend, and I think that's one of the, not the funniest, but the best moments in the break room. Also, you guys brought up Hershey chips. It's a huge thing here in the Philadelphia area. Hershey Chip Factory is located out near Lancaster, PA, and it's tourable. We went there when we were younger for class trips, and it's a pretty cool place to check out. I would love send you guys bags of chips for you to try. Just let me know what kind of flavors you would like, and I can make that happen. We love your podcast. Keep doing what you're doing, especially in times like these. It's great to listen to you guys. Thanks and take care. Bye.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Wow.
It's very sweet. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, the question is, what flavor of Hershey chips do we want to try, man? Now, they got a lot of different flavors here.
Okay, yeah, I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, well, I mean, they have 12 different kettle-cooked chips. They have 19 different potato chips. There's just tons of stuff. Generally, what's a go-to chip flavor for you, Edwin?
Well, I mean, salt and vinegar is the one from the episode, right? So that's what I would go
with. My favorite. I love salt and vinegar chips. I can handle the salt. Some people can't. I can. A sour cream and onion is delicious. Although they make a honey sriracha kettle chip. Hers does. Mm. That's the one I'd like to try. So Lauren, I don't know how, if you need to email us, but we need to figure out a way you can get these chips to us.
That would be very nice.
Would be phenomenal. I would like the honey sriracha. I'll try that out. Maybe a couple of salt and vinegars. We'll pay you for all this.
Yes. Yeah.
And we'll have to have Sean choose his own. There's 82 total products.
Oh, wow.
There's baked crisps. There's pretzels. There's cheese snacks. Oh, my gosh. That's a whole regional brand. I've never seen hers ever on the West Coast.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
But
you're starting to sound like the pretzel day guy. Listing all the toppings.
Well, what's a comparable brand we have here? Like Kettle Chips? But I thought Kettle Chips was...
Kettle chips.
They're
based
national?
Out of Salem. I think so.
Yeah, they must be.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up this episode of Chip Talk with
Chipcast.
Yeah. But no, that is cool. That's cool.
Oh, they have the ketchup ones. I've heard ketchup chips are very interesting. Never had them.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. That's a Canadian thing.
Yeah. But they have them here. All right. When I first heard that email, I thought she said it's terrible or it's horrible. In regards to the chip factory, but it's tourable.
We should include this with an office foods episode, which we've talked about many times.
Oh yes. Can we,
but we've wanted to do an episode where we do taste testing office foods, that kind of thing. And that would be, really
I say we have Hershey chips live, on the show. We'll eat them. And that'll be part of the food episode.
The way you said it made it sound like you wanted a rep from Hershey chips live on the show.
I would also take that.
Yeah,
sponsor our show for
but
goodness
no, that
sakes.
Would be really fun. We have to do a taste test, and then we'll taste test all these different office foods. Maybe Edward's cornflake chicken, something like that. To go back to the break room moments, I really do love that Kevin is a good friend.
Yes,
he's a good friend to everybody. He's a good friend to Pam. He's gonna stand up for Jim. He's got Jim's back. If he ever gets into it with Roy, but try to stay out of it. he's a good friend.
Oops, sorry. Yeah, Kevin is he'll be honest with you. It's very hard for him to not be honest. In fact, if he has to not be honest, he'll shout warning beforehand very loudly. So yeah. he's good.
That's
for
true.
That.
Very endearing, especially in when Pam is in labor. He says, "I am petrified." Yeah. So even in moments of terror, he's a good pal. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Kevin. But that's great. I haven't thought about the break room episode in a little bit, but that's fun.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
All right, next voicemail here comes.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Next voicemail coming from Rachel in Duluth.
Hey guys, it's Rachel in Duluth, Minnesota. Don't you know? Third time caller. And I'm calling with a conference room segment known as Missed Opportunities. You recall Phyllis saying she likes to go out to bars with Bob and wear low-cut tops and flirt with other men so that Bob will beat them up. So I'm thinking in the weight loss episode, when Dwight takes Phyllis out to a bad part of town, takes her purse and phone and leaves her to walk back to the office so that she'll lose weight, and then she comes storming in the office and she picks up the phone and she calls David Wallace, what if instead she had stormed into Bob Vance's office, Vance Refrigeration, told Bob about it, then her and Bob stormed up into the bullpen, and there was an altercation between Bob and Dwight. I think that's a missed opportunity. I'd like to know if you guys agree, and if you have any missed opportunities you would have liked to see play out. Of course, many have been discussed throughout the journey of your podcast, yet I suspect there are more to talk about. So thanks for everything you do, and I will look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Wow, what a scene that would be. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Dwight versus Bob.
I know. I love that idea that Phyllis goes straight to Bob rather than trying to call Bob Vance, or trying to call, David Wallace.
You feel like Bob Vance might have the element of surprise if that were to happen?
And Dwight has so much bravado and is so sure of himself physically, but to actually see him be confronted by Bob would be really something else, though. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the only comparable moment we have is when Roy comes in and he's looking at Jim. So Dwight comes in from the side, or is a surprise part of that interaction or that altercation. But I think that would be a matchup of the Titans right there, Dwight versus Bob. Also, one that would have a ton of ramifications for the rest of the show and the rest of the Office Park. Battle between two of the members of the five families.
Oh yeah,
at least with Dunder Mifflin and
just a battle royale, five families.
Yeah. Yeah, battle royale. But I guess what other questions? I mean, that it's hard to imagine what they would do with Bob and Dwight, and then they'd have to deal with that for the rest of the show, which would be really difficult, I think.
I would love a simmering bad blood though between Dwight and Bob Vance. I don't know, it'd just be funny.
I mean, he's got it. He says, how do you work with that jackass and that other jackass and that new jackass? Yeah. He means Michael Dwight and Andy. Oh, I know. Yeah, that would definitely be something. Can you think of other missed opportunities?
Yes, I feel like they could have used one more episode where Todd Packer's involved. And not that I want to spend more time with Todd Packer, but what he would force the other characters to do. So let's say the scenario would be something about, like, Todd Packer has to do his big sales call, but he can't do it solo, and he needs a salesman to join him from Dunder Mifflin. And for some reason, they won't let Michael, or Michael can't do it, because obviously Michael would want to do that. So they have to, like, draw straws, basically, for who's going to go on this call with Todd Packer and spend time with him. And I think an Andy Todd Packer sales call would be really, really funny. Just putting those two in a car together and having them interact. And I think they would obviously hate each other at first, but I could also see them maybe through the course of the sales call, much like Ryan and Dwight did when Dwight was teaching Ryan in the initiation, that they'd actually find some common ground. And I don't know how that would happen, but it'd be funny if Andy was also good buddies with Todd Packer.
Which version of Andy would you pair with Todd Packer?
Like season three Andy? Bro Andy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it would work with the later.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah. The obvious one. I think
Andy would go on that because he doesn't know Todd Packer much. He's like, I'll do it. Like, you called the right man for the job. Like that kind of Andy.
Whatever you say, boss.
Yeah.
Riding with the Pack Man. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. The obvious one, obviously, is Michael and Robert California. That has been established. I think we've talked about Michael and Nate on this show. The conversation that Michael and Nate would have together.
Nate with anybody, honestly.
Yeah, the idea of pairing up anyone with Nate. We talked about it in here, the Vance Refrigeration guys in Robert, California.
Did you mention Nate and Stanley having a conversation?
No, I can't.
It would take so long.
I can imagine them sitting in their break room and Nate saying, trying to start a conversation, and like, what do you think of the weather today? And Stanley being like, it's just the break room. We don't have to talk.
I think Nate would ask something, have something to say about crossword puzzles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there are others. Does Aaron ever interact with Todd Packer?
I don't want them to interact.
I know. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of other characters who never cross paths. David Wallace and Todd Packer. Now that you brought up Packer, that's
a lot
just
of
like,
Packer. One like Robert mind. California. Dave,
how
a
about
lot of people?
David Wallace and Nate. They're like, it's easy to go to these characters that are so extreme.
Yeah.
To pair with more more normal or more mundane characters in The Office. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's,
what about Jan and Nate?
I was thinking Jan and Gabe.
Oh, there's a good one.
I don't know what
that's
they would be
answer.
Doing, but I feel like Jan would just smell the fear and just attack, and it'd mm-hmm. be really funny. I don't know. I don't know what the storyline would actually be.
Yeah.
Something. She has a thing for assistants, and she sees, I don't know, something about mm-hmm. it being Joe Bennett's assistant.
What's going on? Where's the Quiznos? You're the Quiznos. but okay. Anyway, thank you again, Rachel. That was a fantastic question. Yep.
All right, moving on. Let's go to Matthew in Rhode Island.
Hey, MSPC. This is Matthew calling from Providence, Rhode Island.
Hello.
I was just listening to your episode about Pam way back in the archives.
Oh, wow.
And you guys mentioned very briefly that you think being a postal worker would be a perfect job for Michael Scott. And that reminds me of a question that I posed to my Facebook fan group for The Office on Facebook. And it was, if Dunder Mifflin didn't exist, what would be the job that each person in the office would have? So I'll start. I think Angela would be a perfect flight attendant. She's just very procedural, and I can see her doing like the exits are on this side on the wing and stuff like that. And then I can also see her like on a flight where a passenger's like, hey, like, can I get a glass of water? And she's just like, no. So let me know what you guys think. What would be the perfect job for some of these workers? Peace out.
Great question.
Thank you. Matthew. I love that question. Well, should we start with Nate Packer or Robert California? I'm just kidding. The first one that comes to mind is Andy as a customer service representative.
I said Andy as a KJ.
Okay, you go first.
There's nothing much more to say. I just like a job where he gets to sing and perform all the time, and he's
karaoke.
Good at it. Yeah, karaoke. Okay, KJ's a karaoke. Yeah. Someone who runs a karaoke night at a bar.
That's pretty good.
And just like I just think he would just really blossom in that kind of a role. Maybe get a business going out of it. But he's sort of like he actually finds his calling as a receptionist.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, and I think that goes to what you're saying, but I think there's something about that task of like running that night where everyone's performing and he gets to perform every now and then. I think he likes that aspect of there's a weird like service element to that, but he also gets to perform, which is his favorite thing.
I just imagine Andy on the other end of a phone. I mean, maybe he would be a good person to have at a reception desk or something like that as well. Saying, who do I have the pleasure of helping today? And like doing his little voices and singing his little songs. And that might be endearing while you're helping someone.
Yeah.
You know, there might be something to that for Andy. He can be performative and he can get that sort of people pleasing validation thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the one that comes to mind for me, first of all.
I'll go next. I think Pam would be a fantastic art teacher. At a school, mm-hmm. elementary school, middle school, or something. I know she says she tries really hard for kids to like her, but I feel like they would like her if she was a teacher and she's there. She seems like she'd be really good at that. She's very good at like listening to the kids and teaching them art. And I don't know, she'd be really solid at that job.
I think Jim would be a good teacher. That's the other one that I thought of.
Maybe they work at a school together.
The way that he interacts with Stacy's daughter. Mm-hmm. I believe and take your daughter to the workday. It makes me think that he has a very natural rapport with kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that he would just be very good. I mean, he's very good at being, when he's engaged and excited about what he's doing, he does a really great job of bringing people along with him, as Pam says in season two. But the problem is, of course, the Jim works here, so that never happens. So kind of like an Office Olympics, when Jim is leading some kind of fun classroom activity, I can see that being like a very natural fit for him.
Maybe Jim teaches like history, and he coaches the basketball team at a high school. Something like that. Mm-hmm. See him. He seems to end up in a pretty good, like, kind of what he wants to do, sort of, with athlete, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's not the sports writer, guitar playing Philly Jim, but, you know, at least he's in Austin by the end of it. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For Meredith, as a streamer,
like a Twitch streamer. Yeah.
I just think she's got the energy for it. Yeah, she'd do, it'd be a variety. She'd do a little bit of everything. There'd be some work. She'd do some, like, just doing workouts. Today I'm playing this game. Today I'm doing this. Today I'm just drinking. Whatever. I think she could have a really entertaining, like, Twitch streamer or YouTuber, whatever.
Trying to think of something that Toby could do with his love of mystery novels.
She could have a YouTube channel where she reviews hotel pools. No tops.
Meredith.
Yeah, Meredith.
We talked about the idea of Meredith hosting a travel show, and I still love that idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
She has the right energy.
She does.
For it. Yeah.
Stanley's still in sales, but at luxury cars, really high-end cars. Obviously, I'm very influenced by Florida Stanley, but I think if The Office didn't exist, he'd probably still be doing sales. He seems good at it. But if he was selling something he really cared about, like, say, luxury cars, he'd be great.
I can see Toby working in a bookstore.
Sit down, you know, like really talking you through it. Like,
well, I mean, he could sell you on the luxury.
Yeah,
he can sell you on the whole aesthetic and the feel.
Yeah, like he can sell you on who you want to feel like when you're in that car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he gives you the Florida Stanley hat when you buy the car.
Yeah,
Toby in a bookstore. That would be my next one.
Yeah,
just it's such a quiet.
You're not sending him back to the priesthood.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Although that's definitely like a later stage Toby versus earlier version of Toby. But just thinking about his fascination with murder mystery novels and that kind of thing. And like, I could see him being a friendly presence in a bookstore.
That's a really good call. Maybe a librarian even.
Mm-hmm.
He could also work at the school where Jim and Pam
are. All work in the same school. Yeah.
It's called the school. Mm-hmm. We're all going to move him over. Andy's the custodian.
The school. Michael is the principal.
Wait, I kind of like this idea now.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Hank's still a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight teaches PE.
PE? Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
But also does like a garden club.
Groundskeeping? He also does groundskeeping?
Mose is the groundskeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's the custodian. But singing all the time.
Yeah. Angela is the nurse.
Yep. School nurse.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, I like this.
Yeah,
Phyllis would be a good. Phyllis could be a teacher. All the sales could be teachers, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What would be a good job for Aaron?
Oscar could be a good principal too.
Oscar would be a great principal. Yes, Aaron would be.
Kevin's the cook, like in the lunch line.
Andy could be a cook too. Remember how he makes that Cherry's Jubilee?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and the cheese spread, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy could be a good waiter.
He could be a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's
kind of the do-it-all man. That's why he'd be a custodian who just does random tasks.
I am pursuing fame of any kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a better idea than I thought. Yeah. The school. That's funny. Yeah.
All right. David Wallace is on the board with Jan. All right.
Yeah.
The last one I had here was Phyllis and Bob are con men together.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
I mean, that's not already a thing?
Yeah. I don't like road tripping around, just like doing little scams, like play acting as other people, just doing, having fun. I don't know. They'd be great con men.
Mm-hmm.
No one would suspect them. And they know it.
Have you seen? Okay. I'm going to butcher the quote, but there's a deleted scene where Phyllis and Bob talk. Phyllis talks about when she went on safari with Bob. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So this is what Phyllis says. During our honeymoon safari in Africa, Bob and I were driving late at night and he'd been drinking and suddenly thump.
Oh, yeah.
We hit something with our Jeep. It was probably a man. We didn't know what to do. We heard the police were corrupt and they might beat us. So we just kept driving as fast as we could. We bribed the airline, got on a plane that night, and fled home. And she's crying as she's saying this now. Maybe it was just an ostrich in a soccer uniform. Super heavy, but
there's a little,
yeah, and you see why they deleted it
there,
but
yeah,
ties into the con man,
yeah.
Life of Crime, Life on the Run, Bonnie Ooh. And Clyde, yeah, yeah.
Jeez, Bobby. All right.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Great question. Moving on. Yeah, lost that one. Let's go on to this one. Voicemail from Nami.
Hey, MSPC. My name Hello. Is Nami, and I am from the Bay Area, California. And I just had a question. If you could be a part of any Office episode, which one would you want to be a part of? So, like, if you could be in the actual Office universe, not, like, play a role, but if you could be, like, a temp or something, and just be in one Office episode, which one would you want to be a part of? I was thinking like Benihana Christmas would be fun, because of the, you know, Margarita Karaoke Christmas. Goodbye Toby would be fun, the whole party. But my top choice would probably be Prince Family Paper, so that you could be a part of that whole is Hillary Swank hot or not bait. Anyway, I just wanted to know your guys' take on that. And I love the show. I listen to it all the time. Thank you so
That's
much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
That's really, really nice. And thank you for sending in this question. It's a great one. So, Alex, where would you go?
Like
who would you be? What would you do?
Well, I didn't really pick one where I was like an employee of the Office. I just was like someone there at the episode. Like, I would love to witness Gabe's Gettysburg speech just randomly. That would be amazing. My other first gut was woof.com, just to go, hey, place. I'm a sucker for a fall-themed event. Mm-hmm. Anything to do with the changing of the seasons, a good hay maze, I'm a sucker for it. I love a pumpkin patch. So I would maybe woof.com just for hay
Oh,
place.
Company picnic.
How about you?
You play volleyball, you hang out,
and
you get to watch Michael and Holly's entire
right.
performance. You get to watch the triage as David Wallace... tries to figure out what to do after Michael spoils the fact they're closing the Buffalo branch. Just, it would be a fun day to be a part of. Yeah, it would be a fun
it's
day to be a part of.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, anything.
Beach games.
Anything
in that
a game
same
or a
vein.
Party would be really fun. I think that would be key. Mm-hmm.
The
pool
convention
party?
Even. Yeah. oh, a pool party. I mean, yeah. That, now you say pool party. It's like, wait a minute. That wine cellar, that house, that pool. Choice.
Yeah. Anything like that would be really fun. It'd be fun to be in the basketball game, don't you think? Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah, oh, we'd dominate that game. I don't know. I think maybe Jim and Roy would shut us. They're pretty good. They're big. Lot of tall dudes. I was just looking at how tall Bob Vance was. There's just a lot of tall guys in
the
show.
He and Mifflin were tall men.
Tall guys. Jerry from New Jersey. All right.
But yeah, that would be my answer. Any sort of fun party, game, occasion, event like that. Booze cruise would be really fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice cold booze cruise. What about ones that aren't, that don't have a party? Like ones that are, like where they're not going anywhere, there's no party. Like which one would you want to do?
Office
Olympics,
but also that's a game. That's a game, you know.
Could be pretty fun.
Anything with like a really good conference room meeting, like I'm thinking of Michael Klump, or something like that would be really fun. Cafe Disco.
Yeah. Well, Cafe Disco. There you go. Yeah, let us know. Let us know out there if you had to choose. All right, moving on. Thank you, Nami. Great question. Moving on to Elaine. Back in Minnesota.
Hey, Michael Scott Paper Company. This is Elaine calling in from Minnesota. And I was just thinking, especially with the new Brooklyn Nine-Nine season coming out, during the pandemic, a lot of shows have decided to address COVID in the world. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's one of the plot points in the new season, and Parks and Rec did a COVID special. And I was just wondering what that would be like with The Office. So what do you think the characters would react to with a global pandemic? Maybe Michael not being so careful, or other characters like Angela just going to the extremes. And yeah, can't wait to hear your thoughts on this. Bye.
COVID season would be tough because there'd be a lot for them to deal with over the course of a season. I could see a few episodes for sure. And I feel like this is something we even talked about at other points, you know. But
we've gotten a few versions of this question, and we've talked about like, well, we should talk about this on the show. But it's it is interesting because, yeah, I don't know how long, if you could do a whole season, or if it's just always in the background, it just becomes part of life in the show, just kind of how it has here. But let's say if it was a special, like, and they did a whole Christmas special and it was all COVID.
Dwight would be wearing his hazmat suit.
I don't know. It's like, would Dwight be all like super, super by the book, or would it be like, we should all get this?
Expose yourself to germs.
It should burn out the week. Yeah. I almost think like, good, that COVID will, you know, like people who are weak and will probably die and the strong will live. Like, I don't know if he'd have that like feeling, which isn't true, by the way. But like, I could see Michael initially joking about it, doesn't take it seriously, see something online, and then becomes the
somebody
number,
he knows.
Like,
maybe someone in the office gets it, and then Michael is all of a sudden, you know, at their bedside, like, you know, when they wake up.
Yes.
I will be here as long as you need me. It's really okay, Michael. Yeah.
Slathering himself in hand sanitizer that Meredith is drinking.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. I mean, maybe they all just work from home. Is that what happens? Yeah.
Oh, the whole episode. Mm-hmm.
And there's a
talking
head where Pam says, "I don't really know what I'm supposed to do anymore."
that would be funny. Like
they've done episodes like that. Happy endings in an episode like that. A reunion kind of thing. Like that would be. I feel like that would be the direction to go in. You know. Yeah, you'd have to do it over Zoom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be easier to do with the actors too. Could actually get them to do it. Get all Angela's cats in the background. Get Jim and Pam would be sharing that. You would have
Michael calling Jim and Pam at like the worst hours on Zoom, trying to get time to make the donuts. Yeah. But anyway.
I think that the, you know, like, I don't like COVID wouldn't interrupt their, you know, what they do too much, as they're just buying and selling paper. Obviously the shipment part of it would probably be different, but it would just be these characters adjusting to new habits or like things they have to do. Like Stanley and Phyllis, I'm sure would be very careful about it. Cause they're, well, I guess Phyllis is the same age as Michael, but they would, they also wouldn't like care too much. They would just want everyone to leave them alone. Like, finally an excuse to not do anything. Would be Stanley.
Oh yeah, Stanley would be loving working from home. Zoom meetings. That's really funny. Yeah,
it'd be the happiest Stanley
that's
there's
really
ever
funny.
Been.
I love that.
Andy would be losing his mind, a la like we see on the boat, him and the glare bear.
Yeah.
It does remind me though. You've seen that, I think, right when the pandemic started, and there was like a grid of all the office characters of like what they would call COVID or how they would be referenced. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's like Jim, coronavirus. It's like, actually it's COVID-19. And then it's all this. Andy's is big Rona.
That's funny. But anyway.
Anyway.
Great question. Thank you. Yeah.
Good question. Yeah. I would like to see, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. It's a ballsy
really.
Move to like, have it
it's
be
not
a part
an easy
of the show.
To land to have something like that. Something so close to the real world, like, in, you know, inflected in the comedy show. But yeah.
Yep. All right. We just got two more here. Both short. This next one is from Avery, Texas.
Hey, MSPC. My name is Avery, and I'm calling from Argyle, Texas. Just something funny I wanted to share with you guys. I am teaching a unit on how we as writers can use our own moments from our own lives to write fiction stories, teaching seventh graders. And I'm using a clip from Koi Pond to show them how Paul Lieberstein really experience this moment in a business meeting, and I'm just super excited about it. So I'm wondering for you guys, what are personal moments from your own lives that you think you could turn into a fiction story? I'd love to hear it. Love what you guys do. I'm now going back through and re-listening to everything again, just like I do by rewatching The Office. I love what you guys do. I'm grateful for y'all.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
That's amazing.
Thanks, Avery. Sweet words.
I mean, we say that, we say like, thank you, that's really nice every time, but it really hits every time. Like, that's, it's, we, yeah, I know. It's,
we also beat it every time.
Very, very true. So thank you again. And let's, what's the question? An example from your real life.
Yeah, I didn't really answer this as like what would work for an Office episode. I was just thinking like, what is a good fictional story? You could rework something. And for me, I told you this story, Edwin, too, but I don't know if I've said on the show, but when my wallet got stolen in Winnemucca, Nevada,
I don't remember this
I was
story.
Coming back from a road trip. I won't do
that's on Patreon.
Do the whole story, but all there is to on Patreon, the full half hour story. The short version of it is my wallet got stolen at a gas station, little convenience store gas station, while I was getting ice for the cooler in my car. I was driving back from Vegas back to Portland or Eugene, one of the two places at the time. But I stopped in Winnemucca and my wallet got stolen, and I managed to, with the clerk and I, went and looked at the tapes, and there was just a moment right as I was like going to get change out of my car to pay for the ice, and I had left my wallet, and the guy came in, took it, and left just like really quickly. And I had to spend the whole night, I had to spend the night in Winnemucca. I didn't have any money. I had nothing. My wallet was gone. But through the course of seeing the security cameras, seeing the guy, even though he had sunglasses and a hat on, it's such a small town that the clerk's son hangs out with that guy. And I was able to get the phone number of that guy through the clerk's son. So I had to stay at this like clown themed hotel in Winnemucca, just texting the guy who stole my wallet, like constantly texting him. Cause I was like, have you on tape? I know your name. I really would rather not go to the police because I want to just get out of this city and just get my wallet and leave, please. So please don't make me call the cops. I found a different guy's wallet in a trash can while I was looking for mine. He was really happy about that. This whole saga. And he lied all about what he did with it. And he eventually turned the wallet into the police station. And even the cash was still there. Because I think he was afraid I was going to get them involved, which means he dropped it at the sheriff's station. I went and picked it up in the morning, and he texted me it was there, and I left Winnemucca. But I think that whole story could be repurposed into a very different fictional story that could go a lot of directions. But at
the thing is, if you're going to make it a fictional story, you're going to have to come up with a more believable name than Winnemucca. Winnemucca, where everything went amok, ran amok.
Ran amok. Dude, it's like my perspective of Winnemucca, Nevada was like, look, for all the people who can't cut it in Vegas, they go to Reno. All the people who can't cut it in Reno go to Winnemucca. Like, that's what it felt like.
And I don't mean to like make fun of the name of the town. It's just that like it sounds like, you know, a thing where everything things spiraled out of amok. That's what happened there. Okay. Hard not to think about that during the story. Yeah.
No one planned to settle in Winnemucca. You know what I mean? It's like everyone ended up there, including me for a night.
So this is something that just came to my mind, and I could see Michael doing it as well, maybe. But once, we were doing this cancer walk, and it was associated with a marathon, and I think the.
For those who don't know, that's a benefit to raise money for cancer research.
Yes, yes. Thank you for clarifying. But we got to the last mile, and me and a couple other people were like, oh, let's run the last mile. So we did. And when we got to the finish line, they were splitting people up. They were splitting the walkers from the runners. So I got like shuffled in with all the marathon finishers. And so like I crossed the finish line with all these people who had like actually run a marathon. And I was just there on a Sunday morning to like walk a few miles for this event. And like, I was just, somebody gave me a banana. Like I was like, oh man, I'm not supposed to be here. I was wearing like a North Face jacket. Like, it was like, oh man, I do not belong with these people who have just like completed this big accomplishment, you know.
I could see a fictionalized version of that where, like, you get mistaken for, like, winning this marathon, and you literally have never run a marathon before, but it comes with all these accolades and prizes, and you just kind of go with it and become, like, a famous runner from accidentally
that
winning.
I could see Michael doing that and then just being all swept up in the adulation and the, you know, the praise.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Running around high-fiving you. Everyone. Yeah.
You.
Mm-hmm. You're the real heroes here.
I love you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I could see. Yeah.
Very Michael move. Great question, Avery. Thank you. That's that was a backdoor ordinary things question as well. So snuck that segment in. All right, last one. This one was just for me. There's really no question, but it's a voicemail that compliments me, so I'm going to play it.
Let's hear it, yeah.
It just brought a smile to my face.
So this is Seth from Vegas. Listening to the newest episode of 123 What If on the way to work. Dude, that drop, Alex, the drop on Sean with the, everybody, Kevin's going to get a news. Oh my gosh. That's the best drop you've done. I listen to every episode. That's the best drop that you have done. I split my gut laughing. Oh, God. Just well done. Just really, really well done. And, guys, all three of you, thank you for giving me a smile to start my day. You're a blessing. Love you all.
Awesome.
That's it. I think it was Seth. I think it was, or Wes, or Seth. I couldn't hear with the connection, but if it's Seth, thank you so much, man. That was like, just made me smile.
As it should have, man. That was I think I can remember that moment. The tone of Angela's voice too in that drop is what makes it. Like, hey everyone, it's an interrupting drop, so it is perfect. Yeah,
it is. It's just a rude, rude drop.
But no, man. Hey, man, you make the show. You really do with the drops. Like, it adds such an amazing dimension, and it's one of my favorite things about the show is never knowing what drop is going to come when, and the fact that you can surprise us with them. And I remember in the Michael in New York episode, I was trying to say something, and you kept dropping on top of me. It was so hard to finish my thought.
Oh, yeah. And you were like, I'm losing my train of thought.
So, no, I will second that.
I was trying to derail so hard.
It's a secret ingredient for our show.
I appreciate it. It's fun. I wish I was better. Like, there's probably a better way for me to do it. And I have so many that are I can't even access anymore. So at some point, the show will just become drops and we'll have them all. But every time we do a character or a single episode, that's where I actually end up getting the most. Because there's so many more drop moments that every time I watch The Office, it's
you
like, oh, my God, that would
one
be
where,
perfect.
Either Gino or Leo is saying ass. When somebody's trying to make a serious point, just follow us around. Yeah.
ass. That's probably like the furthest, like, before you get to like the FCC rule breaking that they could say on network television. Like, what word could he be spamming there? That's it, Edwin. There's no more voicemails.
Okay. Well, this week, we won't do any trivia this week. We're getting right at our time. But thank you again for sending in your voicemails. It's always fun to get that insight from people and those questions on the show. As much as we...
If you'd like other questions answered, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/MichaelScott. $5 a month. You get a monthly exclusive mailbag episode and access to ad-free episodes on your own private feed. For all of time.
You know, one thing that I love about our show and that I want to do with our show is that we can get people to think about The Office, which they've seen a million times, and look at it in a different way. And with voicemails and listener questions and stuff, you get us to do that as well. So thank you again for interacting with us and engaging with us. It's truly appreciated. You can find us at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on Facebook. You can leave a voicemail at our phone number, which is
503-694-9314.
And of course, join our Patreon, where it's just $5 a month. You get a bonus mailbag episode. You heard that already. But join us there. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for hanging out with us, for listening to us, for making it this far in the show. Just know that we really appreciate it, man. It really is a joy to do the show and interact with everybody. We look forward to it every week, and it's a blessing, man. Yeah. Thank you again. We look forward to hearing more from you. Take care, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me this up.
Yes, sir. Da 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 da.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.